Welcome to the Hoops and Huddle podcast. I am Malika Walker, and I'm joined by Edwin, who writes for the Lakers and the Sparks. He's the lead writer for Silver Screen and Roll. You want to introduce yourself?
Yeah, that's a great introduction already. Yes, name's Edwin Garcia. Cover the Lakers for Silver Screen and Roll and the Sparks for Silver Screen and Roll, as well as Swish Appeal. So excited to be on the pod today, talking Sparks basketball before the season actually kicks off, as preseason just started.
And Robin, who is, she's a jack of all trades. She has her own, her own thing. And she's also a fellow hoopstress. So, introduce yourself, Robin.
Yeah, I'm Robin Jordan. I'm a co-founder of Black Nerds Create, which is a hub for Black nerds creating things. And one of the things I like to create is WNBA drama and fandom. So huge WNBA fan, larger than the other Sparks fan. That's where I'm at this year. I'm a bigger Sparks fan than I am of the rest of the teams.
And I get that. It's funny because I am a Liberty fan.
Ugh. Nobody's perfect.
Who is, for some reason, the most hated team in the league, I felt like. And then, it seems like every base has a reason to dislike the Liberty. And I find that to be hilarious. And I've decided to own it this season. I even have a Liberty community group on Twitter. It's about 50 of us so far. I'm leaning into my Liberty fanship this year, and it is what it is. But this is our WNBA season preview in general, and we're going to end talking about the Sparks because I have two Sparks lovers here, so we have to get into the Sparks. But before we go deep into the WNBA preview, let's talk about one of your greats, Candace Parker, and WNBA in general, women's basketball in general. But her jersey should be retired with the LA Sparks for sure. So I know that Robin, you were really affected by this. And why don't you kick us off and you talking about Candace Parker, your love for Candace Parker. And then we'll kick it to Edwin for him to say some words, and then we'll jump into preview for the season.
Yeah, I mean, it's weird because on my GOAT list, on my WNBA women's basketball Mount Rushmore, Candace is definitely there. Shamika Holdsclaw, though, is who got me I played basketball, but that was where my fandom and following. Mm-hmm. That's why I loved the University of Tennessee. So when Candace Parker came, that's why I was all about her. You heard about her in high school, but she's my peer in a way, and we're the same age. But when she it was just the end of my hero worship, if that mm-hmm. makes sense. I'm older now than everyone in the league except for that old lady in Phoenix who can't take hints, and unlike Candace does not care about disrespecting the game. So I'm older than all the players playing in the league. I went to my first WNBA game was a Sparks game. It might have been the first year of the WNBA. So it's just, I was real sad because I wanted, and I knew that Candace Parker isn't going to give you the farewell tour. She's not trying to do the she's just going to go out, say that she's done. I didn't think that she would go for all the pomp and circumstance, but when she has less games ahead of her, less seasons ahead of her, then last year I was really prepared for it to be her last year, and then she got hurt, and so when she said she was coming back, I was okay, this is gonna be the last year, but I'm gonna be set. I'm gonna be at whenever she's playing the Sparks, I'll be there. I'm planning on going a couple of driving up to Vegas or flying up to Vegas, going a couple of those games, no matter who they're playing. So it was just sad. I wanted to be able to see her and give her show her how much she means to me in terms of basketball. I wasn't expecting to be as emotional about it as I was, but I think it was that. It was
probably shocked, the shock of it.
And I wanted her, like, also, like, I had this dream. I'm living DeLulu life, okay? You know me, Malika. I lean into delusional thinking. I had this dream that her and the Sparks would get it together and, like, that the Sparks at least would grovel and, like, let her know that they know that they messed up. And that even if she didn't end her career there, they would end on, like, a good note, and, like, she would let them know and they would be ready. Like, they would have been ready with all of the, like, social stuff. They'd be ready to let us know when her jersey's going to be retired, when her statue's coming. Like, you know, like, just kind of similar to how the Lakers were prepped for Kobe. And it felt like, you know, his last year, we were there. We were all on the same page. So that hurts the most, I think.
Yeah, I hate you there, but she got to love the professionalism of the Aces, and they have that beautiful facility. They have her own locker where she can go to her locker. Her stuff is there. And she finally got that. She never had a locker her entire career in the WNBA. And she got one at the end. She got a training facility. She can go at any time. And, like, that's the reason why I didn't see, like, NECA. You see her taking pictures of her laying on the floor. Like, you know, like, it's, you know, in Seattle, like, it's a big, this, you know, this growth of teams getting their own facility is a huge thing. And we'll talk about that in a minute. But Edwin, anything you want to say about the retirement of Candace Parker?
Yeah, I think that similar to what we were talking about, that we all saw it coming. We knew if it wasn't this year, it's likely next year. It's a year by year basis. And yeah, it would have been nice to have gotten the kind of farewell tour. But as we discussed, that's not her style. If she doesn't feel like her heart's in it, she's not going to, you know, just continue even for that. So it kind of makes sense with what her personality is like and what her attitude is towards being competitive and being able to play at the level she feels comfortable with. And I think also, you know, she's got a great broadcasting career ready and has a lot going on. It makes sense if you're not going to be fully committed to just, you know, walk away at this point. So yeah, it's a bummer we didn't get those kind of goodbyes, but, you know, it makes sense. She went out her way the way she wants to. So, you know, she's got her, you know, three stops, three titles, three different teams. I mean, that's part of the legacy there. I know we wanted to be, you know, forever Sparks, but that's just not how it went in the cards. I will say that at Media Day, someone did ask Reagan, who's now, you know, one of the heads in charge of the LA Sparks, about when are we going to see the statue, what's going to happen with jersey retirements, things of that nature. And she didn't make any commitments, but she did say that obviously they're going to do things for Parker, and that it'll be on her timeline, not theirs. So I'm sure that's conversations they'll have. So they're, it's pretty obvious that she'll definitely get all those accolades that other Sparks legends have gotten, but, you know, probably just need to let time kind of go on and see what she wants to do in terms of when she wants those kinds of things. But I expect those things to happen in the next, I don't know, year to 3 years. You should start hearing some news about, you know, when those things are going to happen.
Cool. Now, welcome to, I guess, this season. I'm really excited about this season and nervous about how the WNBA is going to handle the season. Like, are they ready for this growth? They're showing in preseason. They're not. But that's a whole nother issue. Like, apparently we're not going to be getting another preseason game for some time. Not even a Liberty, not a Chicago Sky game. Like, I don't get it, but that's another issue. As you look at the rookie class, and we're going to talk a little about Caitlin Clark, but, and the other rookies, like you guys, rookies and my rookies. I wanted you to, how do you feel, and we'll start with you, Robin, about this rookie class in general? Because they appear coming in ready to just take on, not just take on these veterans, take on, you know, being a professional and not backing down from anybody. Like, they're ready. So what do you think about this rookie class in particular?
I'm excited about this rookie class. I think this rookie class is perfectly poised for not just, like, the competition that they're going to see, but also, like, the growth that the the league in general is going to see, and the more like eyes because of the growth of college basketball, women's college basketball, and because of the NIL and stuff like that, I don't think they're going to be overwhelmed in a way that like you hear about other rookies being in terms of the like the machine of it and the attention of it. Mm-hmm. I still think they're going to be a bit overwhelmed on the court, but I also think that like people have been talking about that more, so hopefully their expectations, hopefully they're listening to the like the veterans and then and the legends who are saying it's going to be a transition, and they're ready for that. They're not so much listening to fans and all of the stuff talking about like, oh, we're going to see another rookie MVP. Like, you know, I'm so sorry, Caitlin Clark fans, but like Caitlin Clark is not Candace Parker, and Candace Parker did not have like an Asia Wilson, you know what I mean? And a Breonna Stewart, and a, you know what I mean? Like she, like Candace came in at a really good, her rookie year at a really good time of like, not that the vets weren't great, but they were, there was a transitional, you know, period. We have like some vets who are in their prime still, just getting to their prime, really like, yeah, you know, not giving up any room for these rookies. And not to say that they're not talented, but like, I just don't think that they're going to like come in and dominate. And I like to believe that they know that, they realize that, and they're ready for it. Like, I'm very impressed.
Injuries have said that they're expecting, she knows that there's aspects of her game she needs to work on.
Right.
She's excited. And I think they know, like Cameron Brink has talked about it. They all have mentioned to me like the nervousness of joining the league, but I do think this talent pool that is coming in, you're going to see more staying power with like at least the first round with these rookies than we did in the past, where sometimes you'll have a first rounder who didn't make a train, you know, a roster,
yeah,
or didn't make it through the season. I think you're going to have less of that with this class.
Definitely.
I'm excited about that. And you could think about a rookie outside of your rookies that you had coming in with another team that you think that you have your eye on. And Edwin, what are your thoughts on this rookie class? What are your thoughts on just in general of this rookie class coming in?
I'm excited that people are excited, but like Robin says, I think there definitely needs to be a tempering of expectations. This league is, as both y'all know, is probably the most competitive league in the world.
Yeah.
And it takes a lot more than just, you know, being hot in college to make it here. I think, you know, you spoke about Cameron Brink, and she's acknowledged that, you know, she's got a learning curve. She's acknowledged that she struggles in the pick and roll already in Kurt Miller's offense, which is interesting because that's like the first thing they talked about on Media Day. And Kurt was asked about that because, you know, the rookies went on SportsCenter the night before Media Day, and they were like, you know, doing a little promo spot about how excited they are for the season and stuff. And, you know, I'm not direct quoting, but they basically were like, oh yeah, we're ready to like kind of take on the league and like, you know, goals of title and whatever, even though it's, you know, year one or whatever. And then Miller kind of threw cold water on that right away. He's like, yeah, I'm glad they're excited, but I mean, they haven't played a WNBA game. So there's a learning curve here that, like, you know, we have to keep in mind, and the fans and everyone has to keep in mind. And I think that's the thing, especially with that. I mean, we saw Boston kill it last year for the Fever, and that didn't win them that many games. You know, like it's really tough.
Yeah, Leah was really good last year.
Yeah. And, you know, was really good on a team that, you know, I think maybe broke double digit wins. I know they got some wins late, but you know,
they struggled. Yeah. I think they got 10, I believe, or yeah, maybe 11
on the dot. Right?
On the yeah, but it was because they hadn't before. I also think too that like some of the rookie class, like I, as a Sparks fan, that I really wanted the Sparks to pick Camilla first, like or second. We had the second pick, but I wanted Camilla Cardoso to be our second pick solely because I think not only is she, I think, really poised to do well, I think she might have the quickest turnaround and like learning curve, not only because of USC and like just the talent that comes out of that program, and Don Seeley, I think, does a great job of setting her players up for the next level, but
University
also
of South Carolina, everyone, not USC in California.
Yeah. I was like, wait.
I've been trying to give it to South Carolina. I'm trying to give South Carolina USC, so I don't have to talk about the other ones. Anyway, I am also a professional hater. Hi, guys. But I think that with her size and like the and like where she's at, like I thought that that's what the Sparks really need. We need some like size and presence in the paint, and not to, I'm excited about Cameron Brink, but I just, you know, wanted someone to be bodied. Like, just, you know, but I think that like there are some just poised to make a bigger impact because of where their teams have been lacking in terms of position. But very similar to like Aaliyah Boston, right? Aaliyah Boston made a huge impact for the Fever that didn't translate to wins and like dominating the league, right? So, and also we should, I don't know if we want to talk about this, but like every single team should be ashamed of what they let the Aces get away with in that draft.
Like Deja Fair. Yeah.
Deja Fair. Kitley, like she's not going to play this year, but she gets to sit on the bench and learn behind Asia Wilson so that when she is ready to play, with all of like what you're talking about with like the Aces training staff and the Aces practice facilities and all of that, like you're just like just giving her a master class in what it's going to take. So like when she does start her rookie year, she's going to be scary, I think, just in terms of like
she's a
mental strength, like, you know?
She's a bucket. Like,
she's a bucket. And now a bucket with like a year of just being are very, very few expectations, no expectations really, to just sit and become a sponge. That's scary. That is dangerous. And so
I agree.
I don't know. I feel like maybe also it's a good thing too for the rookie class is like the Aces have their presence looms so large. It's very hard to like repeat. So to do, you know, a back-to-back-to-back, I don't know if that's possible, but like that looms so large that they might be able to have a little bit less expectation of winning. Cause I think everyone just is kind of like, it's the Aces and then who's next. So
yeah, pretty much
that might help.
What are your thoughts?
So, about the draft in general, or
The draft. Some of the rookies the draft in general, the rookies. Any particular rookie you wanted to highlight?
Yeah, I want
to
talk about what Robin talked about.
Jump into the you know, like the LA Sparks in particular. They're and talk about them and their roster.
Sure. So with Cardoso, I kind of agree with Robin. I think that she just suffered an injury and she's out tonight. So I'm not sure, like,
out 4 to 6 weeks.
Yeah, that's a long time. So obviously, let's ignore that part of it, because obviously we didn't have that information, you know, on draft day. Mm-hmm. I think she's right. I think in general, Cardoso is more WNBA ready than Brink is. Like I just told you, she's struggling with the pick and roll. That's going to be a huge option in the motion offense that Miller runs if he's going to keep running it that way. So I think she's not quite as ready to, you know, be impactful. Now we saw her like, you know, have that crazy block against the Storm literally 24 hours ago. But yeah, I think it's going to be more growing pains with her versus Cardoso. But I think she has a higher ceiling also because of that she's already pretty good, but we'll need some time to grow. You know, I definitely don't think this draft, it was so deep. It's one of those drafts that I think when we look back, we'll probably select players differently 3 to 5 years from now. So it's going to be interesting to see, given the depth, there might be players in that teens that you would have picked now versus, you know, the lottery picks that were taken where they were. But I think Brink was a safe pick. You know, she's a dominant player. She's a good defender. You know, seems to be like people are embracing her already. She's already been in California so much, you know, from her college time. They're kind of ready for a new star. We need a new big, that kind of thing. But I agree with Robin, but I probably would have done what the Sparks did and just said, you know what? No one will be mad if we draft Brink, so let's just draft Brink. Versus if you drafted Cardoso and didn't draft Brink, there definitely would be the conversation of you picked the wrong player and Cardoso would have more pressure being the Sparks' number two draft pick. But who knows what that would have done? That's a whole like other door it opened. Would they have been able to get the two towers? Would Chicago have drafted Brink? That's interesting. Maybe you could have went that way. But they also got Rickea Jackson, which I like. So we'll definitely be talking about this draft and how it impacted all the organizations, you know, for years to come, for sure.
Yeah, we are, because I like your other pick.
Yeah, me too.
I think
I was very excited about that.
I'm very excited to see her just blossom, Rickea Jackson, and I'm very excited to see her on the court. I don't think I miss. I'm going to be watching a lot of W games this season because some of these guys. I want to see Nika Mule in Seattle. Like I want to. Is a bunch of them that I'm really curious on how. But she's one of them. So let's go through some Sparks things. As you look at the Sparks, and like you have, you know, you got Zaya Cook on the roster. You got, of course, Lexi, and you got De'Erica Hamby. And as you look at your roster, Kia Nurse, how do you feel about who do both of you guys think is making the final roster? Who do you think is going to make the final roster? Who do you think is going to be out? You know, meaning not make the roster. And how do you feel about the roster versus last season, and what if you guys can improve on last season?
Yeah, so I think that probably, I think Mackenzie's probably the one that's on the chopping block here. She got drafted late. They kind of took a flyer on her. I'm just not sure if she'll make the roster. I would like for her to make the roster. You know, again, a player who's been here in Southern California, and you know, why not? It's a good story. I think she's gritty. I think she's ready for the role. It's just that, again, there's only so many spots left, and she's fighting for one of those final spots. I'm not sure if another vet's going to take it over her. So I think that's probably the one I'm most looking, keeping an eye on. I want to see if Mackenzie makes it or not. I think the roster in general is probably less talented than last year's roster, but I think the Sparks will probably win more games because they were so unhealthy, you know, last season. They had so many injuries. If Lexi Brown's just back and this team has another year under, you know, Kurt's tutelage, I think they'll probably win more games, even though on paper they're not as good as last season. So that's kind of my early thoughts. I want to hear who Robin's kind of interested in those kind of last two or three roster spots there. What do you think is going to happen there?
So I mean, we're definitely going to lose some guards. We have a lot of them on the roster still. I don't know if I like Lay a lot. I don't know if they'll make the roster, if they'll be we need that veteran kind of leadership, but you know, we've got some veterans that came in, Monique Billings and Kia Nurse, and you know, so we're not kind of lacking in that leadership department. We are, it is very new. There's not, I mean, for so long it was like you had NECA, you had Candace Parker before Derek Fisher happened to us, but you know, you had someone who was like synonymous with that, with like the Sparks and with that organization. And so I'm interested to see like what the team's kind of identity will be this year. I think it's like really up for grabs. I don't know what it will actually be. But because of like the injuries and things, I am kind of assuming that, you know, well, I don't know. I think we'll lose some guards that we weren't expecting to lose, like some of the more established veteran guards, along with a rookie or two. So I agree with you, Edwin. I mean, knock on wood, that the injuries for the Sparks last year was mind-boggling. Like, really, at one point, I think we had it was seven players that were eligible to play. Like, it was really mind-boggling. I mean, it's another reason why having those practice facilities and having, like, you know, investing in those I don't know if you would say like I don't know, just investing in making it a place to be and having those resources is really important. I think that watching Athletes Unlimited this past season, like, Lexi seems to have a good handle on. So she was diagnosed with Crohn's disease, but like it, that whole year as she was kind of dealing with getting diagnosed, right? So we had no clue what was going on. And it sounds like, I mean, not that we should as fans or the media, but like it sounds now like even they internally had like not a good handle on what was going on. So not to say that she's gonna, I don't expect her to play like every single game, but it seems like she has a bit more of an understanding of like what to expect. That's going to be exciting. And I think that, yeah, just health and staying healthy and having those like players available, I expect us to win more. I'm knocking on wood that we're going to the playoffs. But I think we'll be in the squeaking into the playoffs instead of being like firmly in the playoffs.
And one thing we have to mention during this, Caitlin Clark and, I think that with Caitlin, I love, one of the things I love about her besides her shooting is her ability to pass the ball and how she can really, you know, like be that PG on the floor that's getting the ball in the right places. That's something that Leah Boston was excited about in terms of building that relationship with her on the court. And that's going to, they need to build that. You know what I mean? It's not going to happen like overnight. You know what I mean? I could see them like, you know, each year getting better, but like this year they'll be working some things out and then, you know, some work in the off season. And then, you know, like we'll see. I just think that that could be something we would like, you know, for years to come, but this year they're going to be building that relationship. But I'm looking forward to seeing Caitlin against WNBA defense and how, because she's going to have some good games, she's going to have some possibly not so good games, but I think she'll be fine, but she's going to be going through it in terms of, she's already commented on the physicality in W is not always called, and she's already noticed that, yeah, it's more physical. Like she's going to have to put some weight on she's going to have to put some work in the weight room and get used to that physicality. It is different. She's going to have to adjust, but I am looking forward to seeing how she eventually adapts. Cause I think she's going to go through that, but she's eventually going to adapt. And she's still going to get some of these shots off. She's going to get some shots off at some point during the game. Like, but you know, the defense is going to be something she's going to have to adjust and get used to. And her passing, she's already talked about passing a lot because she knows there may be some games she can't get that shot off, and she's going to have to pass the ball. So, you know, making sure she gets it to Nayla Smith and to. Because I do think they have an interesting squad that can do some, you know, like, so we'll see. Like last season, they didn't click and come together, but they had a whole season with Aaliyah. Now they, you know, they have some interesting pieces. I'm really curious about Indiana Fever. Of course, I'm going to see them June 2nd in New York. And they played at Liberty, and those tickets were. I got them before she was drafted and before I got them, they were still not cheap, but they weren't. Some of those seats in Barclays for that game are insane.
I think our first game against the Fever is at Long Beach State. So I'm excited.
Yeah, the prices are stupid. They're like $500 a seat and stuff. Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah. You
know, like I know somebody that their seats are like going for like almost like $5,000 on.
Oh my God.
The crazy amounts of money. Like, I'm like, oh my God.
Are they actually getting bought though? That's my like fear, that people are doing these resales and then you'll end up with a bunch of empty seats.
I will say that my cousin, me and my cousin are Rutgers graduates, and he has season tickets to the men's and women's every year. He has 4 tickets. And when Caitlin Clark came to, we were supposed to go to the game, and he was like, "Cause people want these tickets really badly." And I, you know, I can get a nice amount of money for him. He sold him for $500 a pop, and that wasn't nothing. I said, you could have probably went up. He said, I could have went up, but I felt guilty. I didn't pay. Yeah, I didn't. Yeah. You know, these are not expensive tickets. You know what I mean? Like, $500 was as far as I was going, and they were going in 5 seconds. Like, he put them on sale, and before we get off the phone, a few minutes later, they were gone. So wow. I think it's going to be interesting to see how that's managed, but I did want to mention, I think we're going to see, we have a talent with Caitlin, but there are many in this draft that have talent. But we also have greats like Scarlett Diggins-Smith back in the league. She was out after having her child and after the Odyssey with the Phoenix Mercury. Now she's smiling and on the court with NECA. I know you miss her. Seattle Storm is brewing with something. They have their own facility that just opened, which I'm so excited for. NECA, who took a picture, she's never had anything like this. So her own locker, like this whole facility, like what Candace Parker went through last year. But NECA, you know, taking a picture, laying on the court, you know, just she was so happy. So
I keep getting embarrassed. How many greats have to tell you that?
Like, that's a sign when you see veterans doing this, like the teams that have their own facility and at least are sharing facilities, that you have their own section, like the Liberty have their own section of Barclays.
Well, the plus side for the Sparks is that the Clippers have gone to their own stadium, so hopefully maybe we'll get to, you know, get some more space for I'm assuming
Chicago Sky. I'm like, these two teams in particular have to do better by their players.
Yeah,
something has. I'm like, Magic is one of my favorite players of all time, but he has to get that on them. Him and that ownership group need to get it together, in my opinion. And I love Magic, but I need more, I need better.
Yeah. I mean, no argument for me. I think one thing that's interesting, though, to go back to Caitlin Clark for a second, I'm more interested in how she's going to be officiated than I am about her. Because one of my biggest things, even watching her in college, was that I think one of the best defenses against Caitlin Clark is that she's a defensive liability and you get her in foul trouble. The problem is, are they going to call the fouls on her? Right. Especially
that superstar treatment.
She's going to get that superstar treatment. Is she going to get that as a rookie? I mean, we saw, I wasn't able to watch this game, but everyone saw that, like, they were calling it a crossover on JC Sheldon, that was not a crossover. It was a step back, but it was a step back that was a push off, and JC was flopping. So it was a lot of things happening there. Like,
but I will say that picture is wild, though.
It's a foul flop combo.
Yeah,
and
JC had a good game too.
Are the W refs going to let her get away with those push offs? Those push offs are egregious. But they let her get away with it for the last at least 2 years in college. and then her defense, I don't think is very strong, right? And I think one of the best ways to stop someone on offense is to get them in defensive trouble. So how much superstar treatment is she going to get? How much are teams going to really put the pressure on her on defense when she's on defense?
They're gonna be looking for her. They're gonna be hunting her. So I think that's something that they're going to have to work with her on, because you know these vets are they're going to be ready.
I mean, if you get Caitlin Clark in foul trouble and she's spending a quarter or two on the bench because she's got 3-4 fouls, like, that's a great way to keep her scoring down and her assists down, right? I think that her passing is great. I think that one of the biggest problems I had with the Fever last year they kind of reminded me of the Lakers this year, not to bring them into it, but at certain times it was like they forgot Aaliyah Boston was on the court, even though she carried them through the game. and she kept them in it. And then at like the most opportune times, they would just stop giving her the ball. And I don't think that we'll see that with Caitlin. I think Caitlin will continue to give her the ball when she is open, and partially because Aaliyah will give the ball back, right? Like that, like pick and pop, that having those options to pass out, that could be dangerous for a lot of teams, but that can't happen if Caitlin's sitting on the bench with 3-4 fouls. So
that's an interesting take on that. Can you have anything to say on Caitlin, and you have any thoughts on that, Evan?
Yeah, it's so tough. I don't think she will get like a favorable whistle for sure. I think she will get the benefit of that, but I think you'll still see her growing pains and see it kind of, you know, be an issue with her at getting success at the Fever. I just think that there are long ways to go from kind of competing with like those, with the Aces, the Liberty, the Sun, maybe even Seattle, if you want to put them in that top four. I think the gap's still very big, and I think we'll still notice that. I mean, they lost the recent game, right? Like, I think it's just going to be kind of a struggle.
Yeah, it was a regardless. Preseason game. And I they have a little ways to go, but it'll be interesting to see what whistle she gets. That's for sure. But the Chicago Sky, with them having Angel Reese, who's already said that she is going to be, there are aspects of a game she needs to work that she'll be working on. And she already knows she's a work in progress, but she's looking forward to the season. They have so much change in Chicago. So much change. Is there one thing in terms of if you were to point out one thing on Chicago and one thing they should work on this season, what would it be to get better?
I mean, so we'll see with Camilla being out and how long that injury, you know, they're saying 4 to 6 weeks with the shoulder injury. You know, I will say during the draft, I think I tweeted, I was like, so no one's going to get a rebound against Chicago ever again. We're just like, you know, between.
That's one thing about Angel. She's a strong.
Leader. Yeah. Between Angel, Camilla, but like Izzy Harrison is also like, she can grab a rebound. I'm really interested in what Teaspoon will bring in terms of identity and I think that they have like a lot of upside when it comes to like wings and playing that mid-range. I think that again just like the Sparks, I think the bar is really low for Chicago in terms of like improvement. Like there's nowhere to go but up, really. So I do expect them there to be some improvement.
Yeah, learning year.
Yeah, but I don't have like a, you know, I think that they're going to skyrocket or anything like that. I think it'll be a learning year.
Yeah. It is a learning year for them. I mean, hey.
And a lot of just rebuilding too. I was telling, Chicago fans were making me feel fiend. Because not since Derek Fisher has a coach really just come in and decimated a team like that. And I think one of the beautiful things about the W is that the rebuilding years and things like that, it doesn't need to take that long. There are not that many teams. You can very well, like through the draft, you can easily go from not making it, being last in the league, to being a top contender. But I just think that this is going to be a rebuilding year, but I think that we're going to see something impressive.
Yeah, I agree. But in general, I think with the, you know, we can give our word on what would you like to say about the Sparks, or just in general about this upcoming season, that we have so many new fans that are watching, fans of some of these players, Caitlin Clark, Angel Reese, who may not know the history of the game, but they will be watching the game with us. Anything you want to say to the fans? Or this is part one. We're going to have a part two. I'm going to do a part two because we didn't touch on my team, the Liberty. We didn't touch on the Phoenix Mercury, to name, and that's just two of the teams we didn't talk about that, with Kalia Coppers and Phoenix. You know, we have the Liberty, which didn't do much in the offseason, much to my chagrin, but looking forward to talking about the teams we didn't get to. But yeah, I wanted you guys to just, you know, what is your, you know, as we close out, what is the one thing you want to say about the upcoming season, the Sparks or any, the fans, anything in general about this upcoming season? We're going to have more viewers than we've ever had, and more interest. So what would you like to say about the season in general? Anything you, any place you want, you both of you want to go? Your last word.
Okay, cool. I'll jump in right here. I think the Sparks will be kind of what Rebbe mentioned, that you can kind of, you can, the rebuild doesn't have to take like 5 years like it does in the men's game. It can happen relatively quickly. Like 1 to 3 years is kind of realistic. If you have some draft capital and some money, you can kind of quickly build yourself back up. So I think the good thing for the Sparks, I think they'll have a nice balance of, you won't care as much about wins and losses. You'll care more about the development of the young players, but also you'll probably win enough to at least get some playoff experience, because it's only 8 of the 12. So the majority of the league does make the playoffs. You don't have to improve that much to get a playoff spot, compared to, you know, in the men's, it's kind of hard to get those playoff spots. You know, the competition can be much vast if you're one of the lower teams. So I think that's a good spot for the Sparks to be in. Fans will be excited and say, hey, well, we might get an elimination game. You never know what happens. Let's roll the dice there. So that's going to be exciting. I think for the new WNBA fans, which there are a lot, like you said, this is definitely going to be, you know, we see those graphics, 200x growth. Like, we're going to see those graphics again this year, because there's just so much more attention on the league and so many people kind of saying, oh, I had fun watching women's college basketball. I wonder how fun women's professional basketball is. And it's going to turn out to be even better than the women's college basketball, at least in my opinion. So I think the one thing for them is, for us as the veterans, we have to kind of have a little patience, and hopefully they're willing to hear, because certain things, like the preseason thing, people were shocked. I'm like, I'm not shocked. That's been my life the last 4 years. Like, what are you talking about? Like, last year I went to a Sparks Storm preseason game where I was one of 8 people who watched it that wasn't playing, right? Like, that was it. It was like the 3 or 4 media people, no audience. It was in a gym in like, I forgot where it was.
Northridge.
Yes. Thank you. Yeah. It was like CSUN, like around that area. And it was just like, it was just us. There was a few fans in one game, and another game, there was no fans at all. And yep, it was an official preseason game with the box score. And like, I was screenshotting it and sharing it. I'm like, this is the only evidence of this game is this box score. And that's not even fathomable for the NBA, but in the W, that's a common thing. So I think it's good that people are finding this out and also being appalled by it and be like, this is not right. Like, are you serious? I'm like, yeah. So hopefully they're willing to hear it and they can help spark the change with everyone being like, I can't believe, you know, you could very well sit next to Caitlin Clark on a Southwest flight. Like, that's not ridiculous if you're going to the same area, right? So a lot of these things need to get changed. And I think that them coming in and seeing some of the ridiculousness, like not having a locker and that kind of thing, is going to help raise awareness. So as long as the new people and the OGs can kind of get along and we can learn together and grow, I think it's going to be overall good. But there's definitely going to be some growing pains on both ends of like the fans who've been here and the new fans, and kind of, you know, figuring out how this all works. It's going to be interesting seeing even how the culture is going to react to all this in this season for sure.
Yeah. For sure. Robin.
I will say to the fans, this is just like a quick thing. I am not a hip hop head. Kendrick and Drake were beefing, and I sat back and took it all in. I asked questions when I needed to ask questions, but I just watched. I just absorbed, right? I want the new fans to come in with that kind of thought process, like absorb, you know, like what Edwin was saying. I totally agree. It's great that they're going to have that kind of energy and see what we've been kind of dealing with as fans. And I'm hoping that it is not a turnoff to them and that they don't just like give up, because we do need more fans. But the way in which we get to see some of those changes and get to see these players getting treated like the professionals that they are, the like world-class athletes that they are, is that we continue to invest in the game. And that starts with like being able to, you know, going to the games, buying the jerseys, like all of those things. So be humble, be a little bit quieter, you know, absorb absorb some things. And I think that you'll start to see the growth and the game go where it needs to be. And then I think that for the Sparks, I'm just along for the ride. I'm trying to not have big expectations, but I am going to, you know, do the best that I can and hope for the best. I think that we'll definitely improve, but just want to see improvement. That's my whole thing. I want to see improvement.
Yeah, now what I will say is I'm looking forward to the new season. I'm looking forward to seeing how these what types of things the new rookies learn as, you know, as the season goes. Looking forward to this, you know, them learning on the court and their observations. I'm looking forward to seeing, my Liberty did not have an off season that I was looking forward to. They did not. In part two of our in the season preview for Hoops and Huddle, we will discuss the teams we didn't touch on. We will discuss the Phoenix Mercury, Minnesota Lynx, Atlanta Dream, New York Liberty. We will discuss those teams and the others we did not touch on, Connecticut Sun, and you know, just really give a brief overview of those teams. And I'm including Liberty, who we signed Kennedy Burke to a guaranteed contract. But other than that, in terms of next season, I'm excited about Markeisha Davis. We'll get into that with the next our part two. So thank you for listening and for watching Hoops and Huddle. And we are out of here. Check us out with part two. Hit play right after this one. And you'll be all set and ready to go. Thank you.
Thank you.